Good to be back this morning. I'm returning from a couple weeks in Colorado. My wife and I flew out there a couple weeks ago. Actually, it was a little over 2 weeks ago. It was right after my last talk here. And I was kind of prepared for, you know, some downtime. I was trying to stay engaged with some meetings and different things. And my flight's about to leave on the 26th. We were going to fly out to Colorado. And our RV was in storage out there. Spent a couple weeks with my daughter who lives out there. Come back. My flight's about to leave on the 26th, and Shannon texts me. He says, "How available are you right now?" And I said, "Well, I'm about to get on a plane." "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I'm going to forward you an interesting email." And the rest you probably are familiar with. We had a very interesting conversation with a member of USA Today's social justice team, Mark Ramirez. I did my portion of the interview from a little coffee shop in Golden with people walking around behind me, and I've got my headphones on, and I'm trying to talk, and I'm like, this is so wild and so weird and such a strange way to begin the vacation. But the piece that he wrote, he said he was writing a piece about America's ongoing exodus from organized religion, and I said, that's definitely a piece that's relevant with C3. And it's a great article, and the weird thing was, I'll tell you this, we've had some articles, I know, written about C3 before, and it's always cool when you see your name or your organization's name in print. It's rather different when you can walk into a Walgreens in Golden, Colorado, and pick up a newspaper off the shelf, and there you are right there. Sharing the front page with an article about U.S. dam failures. Although, to be fair, I think that we would have gone upstage. I think the real headline article was on the front page of the money section, which was this piece here that said, "Ever thought about camping in the nude? Naturists find it relaxing, freeing, and not scandalous." The weird thing is this. We were going out to spend 2 weeks in an RV in Colorado, and I had to assure Shannon, I'm like, no, we're not, I'm all about body positivity, but no, we're not camping in the nude, and I have so many questions when I see this article. Like, that was front page material right there. So, what the world needs now, okay, we're in the middle of a very contentious election season. Although, let's be fair, every election season these days is contentious. Gone are the days of civility and respect, it seems. There's an underlying current of trauma, a latent trauma from people who are not yet fully recovered from the previous election cycle or the one before that. When it feels like we go from one bad news story to the next, when it feels like the things that matter in our country can't even be talked about with family and with friends without, like, immediately getting contentious and taking sides. What the world needs now, I borrowed this word for today's talk from the title of the online portion of the USA Today article, is refuge. Millions of people, he said, are seeking refuge in like-minded communities. What the world needs now is refuge, is safety, is solace. We all need our safe places because the world's painful and dangerous sometimes. We have created a community here, or I should say this community has just evolved over time. And it's evolved with a purpose and an intention to be that safe place for anyone and everyone. We're guided by common values, but we come together because we know that this is a place for us to truly be ourselves, whatever that looks like. Maya Angelou writes, "The ache for home lives in all of us. The safe place where we can go as we are and not be questioned. Don't we all long for that? I do. That's why I sought out this community to begin with. For those of you who don't know my story, I was interested in C3 first as a community before I even knew there was a position for a lead teacher. And I was looking for, as so many people are right now, I was looking for some type of a community where I felt that my beliefs or lack thereof could belong. And it turns out there are so many people that are like me. C3 has been that for myself, my wife, and I'm so profoundly grateful for that. I also wanted to choose this word refuge because, as I said in pre-talk, this word has a bit of a loaded meaning. There's some religious baggage, at least for me, okay, because refuge is a very biblical word. It's used a ton in the Psalms. David, the psalmist, wrote about how God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. I grew up, in our form of upbringing and homeschooling, we read every morning five psalms and a proverb. So growing up, we read the psalms a lot. And sometimes, for a big portion of it, it was when my dad was waking up and he worked down in Detroit. And so usually it was at between 4:30 and 5:30 in the morning. We're getting stumbling out of bed and we're reading our five psalms and a proverb and trying to like stay awake. So that word refuge, man, that goes deep for me, right? It's a very spiritual word. And I will say this, and this is very important for you to hear this. And for anybody listening or watching online who may have, like, you know, read the article, it's important for you to know this, that many people find solace, find refuge in religion, in their faith. And that's important. And we are not saying, we are not trying to convince you to abandon faith, abandon religion. We're not saying all this is going the way of the dodo bird. Religion runs deep in our collective psyche. It is part of how we as human beings have tried to make sense of the world. I don't know that you could really fully eradicate faith or religion from our planet any more than you could being human, because it's so much a part of who we are. So if you find refuge in your faith, in your religion, I am so grateful for you. And I want to support that. We need more safe communities of faith. I just had my conversation this past week with my One Small Step partner. We've been talking about this for a while now. Still encourage you to go to wgbu.org/onesmallstep. And apply to be matched if you haven't. There's still time. There's a lot of cool things happening with that. So the person that I was matched with came from ministry and still is in ministry, has been in ministry for a long time. So a Christian minister, and I think I was paired because I'm not a Christian minister anymore. I have not worn that label for a few years. Part of the conversation for me was just so affirming and such a reminder to me, as snarky and cantankerous as I can sometimes get, because when we've been wounded by systems of organized religion, it's easy to get really angry and worked up and to carry those grudges and to say, just burn it all down. And trust me, there are days if you catch me at the right moment, that will be my response. And I'm not saying that's the right response, but that's sometimes how I feel based upon the trauma and the things that I'm carrying from my past and my interactions with religion. And yet, as we had conversations this morning, there were several people who said their places of worship were places of refuge and safety for them. So we need that. What the world needs more of is safe places. That safe place that Maya Angelou says where we can go and not be questioned. In that USA Today article, it said, There are millions like me that were seeking refuge in these like-minded communities. It says, communities like C3 show how, despite Americans' ongoing abandonment of traditional organized religion, many longing to maintain some sense of spirituality and community in their lives are finding it in places both religious and non-religious. This exodus from mainstream religious paths has taken place over the past several decades. In the early 90s, 9 in 10 Americans identified as Christian. By last year, that figure had dropped to 63%. Meanwhile, the portion of Americans describing themselves as either agnostic, atheist, or nothing in particular, or the nones, N-O-N-E-S, has risen to nearly 3 in 10. I don't like the nones because that, in addition to being confusing, is more about what that group of people are leaving behind and not more about what they are. A phrase that I try to keep coming back, it's sort of a census demographic type phrase, is the acronym SBNR, spiritual but not religious. That fits me better because religion being systems of organization around certain theological beliefs are serving for some. They serve their spiritual walk or their faith journey. For others, they don't feel that they identify or connect with any one system of religion. And so rather than simply saying none, I like to highlight the fact that so many of these people are, that longing that is deep within us, from which religion grew and emerged and evolved out of culture, that longing is still there. We still need community. We still need purpose. We need refuge. We need refuge in this world. We need a safe place because we're hurting. We're hurting. Our nation is hurting. If you were to sit our country down with a therapist on the couch, that therapist would have their work cut out for them because there's a lot of trauma, so much trauma, and so much of it smoothed over with good intentions and policies meant to fix things that they don't fix. Thinking that we're further along than we are in issues of racism or bigotry, when the flames of our hatred and our bigotry are being fanned constantly on a daily basis, we need safe places of refuge where we can escape the anger, the vitriol, and find community where we can be safe to be seen as we are. One of our values that we talk about here at C3 that guides us, so we say that we don't have a particular religious text. We draw a lot of our inspiration from religions and spiritual teachers around the world. And we honor those traditions. And the values that guide us, one of those values is probably going to be the one that is most informing this series, and that's the value of well-being. We already talked about that this morning. I want to read what is on our website as we describe it. Well-being says that we promote wholeness and wellness of mind, body, and spirits, recognizing our, and these are some important words, our self-responsibility, our interrelatedness, and our interdependence. Those are huge. We're in different communities. We have guests with us this morning from other communities. Every week we have people joining us online. We have guests here this morning from out of state. We have people that are looking for faith communities or places where they feel safe, and we're forming relationships with people because we realize how connected we all are. And we remember that these people online and these news commentators and these cable news channels, that are fanning the flames of division are trying to pull a smoke and mirrors show. They're trying to tell us how different we are. And we need to be reminded of our common humanity. The fact that our well-being is connected. Your thriving is dependent upon my thriving, and my thriving is dependent upon your thriving. We thrive together or not at all. We want a society of justice and equity, of opportunity. And yes, most importantly, we want safety. We want refuge. How sad. What a sign of our times that our kids in our schools don't even feel that same refuge that we as parents have in the past, or those who are currently parenting, actively carry the collective anxiety of asking the question, will my child be shot at school? We need refuge. We need safety. And spiritually, religiously, we need that as well. Because there's, as you read in the article, and I'd encourage you if you haven't, to not just read the C3 part, because they wrote some great stuff about us, but there's other stories of people who are coming out of faith backgrounds. I've had two conversations in the last week that just broke my heart to pieces with the pain and the trauma that people are feeling from religion and what has been presented to them as God. Anne Lamott, who famously has written about her own spiritual journey, her deconstruction, or whatever you would choose to call it, she's one of the originals, one of the OGs of deconstruction. I love her writing so much. She says it this way. She said, "My coming to faith did not start with a leap, but rather a series of staggers from what seemed like one safe place to another." I want to pause on that there from this quote. My faith was not a leap, but it was a series of staggers from one safe place to another. Those places of safety and refuge mark our journeys through life, don't they? You know and probably can remember, if I ask you, who is a safe person for you? You can probably think very quickly. If you were going through a period of personal trauma or loss or distress, who is that person that you would call, that you would FaceTime, that you would go and grab coffee with, that it doesn't matter what they're doing, that you know that that person is a safe place for you? I hope you have that person. I hope you have many such people. I really, really do. We need that for those on this journey through life as well. She writes, "Like lily pads round and green, these places summoned and then held me up while I grew. Each prepared me for the next leaf on which I would land. And in this way, I moved across the swamp of doubt and fear." I love that metaphor. I love that picture. It's very similar to my own journey. And I can think of my milestones or lily pads, safe places where I had people in my life or places that I could go where I could ask questions that in other circles I couldn't ask, where I could express thoughts and doubts and opinions that in other circles would probably cost me my job or my reputation. It's so essential to have those places of safety, of refuge. We've talked up until now about these external forms of refuge. C3, we try to make that place of safety, a safe place. Hopefully you have communities that for you are safe. Hopefully you have people that you can be truly vulnerable with and see you, that you feel safe with. But before we wrap this up, I want to bring us fully introspective and end us with this quote by Rumi. Because however lovely these external forms are, it's important to remember that external forms change. those people that we find safety in they will not always be around. We are all guaranteed one day to pass on. Those places that you feel safe may change. How do we carry that sense of safety when the world around us is so changing? Rumi, the Sufi poet, says it so beautifully. He says, "How lover and beloved touch is familiar and courteous. But there is a strange impulse in that to create a form that will dissolve all other shapes." What is he saying? He says, when we find true love, think about that. When you found that person that was your soulmate, if you believe in that thing, when you found that person that is true love, there is something in us, no matter how Buddhist we claim to be, that we want to merge with that person. We want to become attached to that person, to dissolve, to blend into that other person. Rumi says that there is that impulse to create that form that will dissolve all other shapes, to find our external security in these external sources. I'm happy now because I found the person who makes me happy, which is all well and good until that person dies tragically. Does your happiness go away? Here's what Rumi says. Rumi says, remember, the entrance door to the sanctuary is inside of you. Guard this sanctuary within. Yes, these external forms are lovely and are necessary, and we need communities like this. But please hear me. Your sanctuary to peace is within you, and it is yours to develop. Remember when I said that we would come back to this idea of well-being from our values there? The first part says, we promote wholeness and wellness of mind, body, and spirit, recognizing that first word is self-responsibility. We are the curators and the caretakers of our own peace. As we quoted from Ram Dass a few weeks ago, how preposterous is it to shout in anger that the world is so full of anger when we are not embodying the peace that we want to be? Be the peace that you want to see more of. Embody the joy that this world needs more of, and cultivate, guard that inner flame. Guard that peace within you, because you are the only person. You are the only person who has control over that. You don't have control over anything else externally. We don't know, as much as we make plans, whether we're going to be around from one day to the next, one week to the next. We're moving through life. Things change. Things evolve. Guard that peace. Remember, the entrance door to the sanctuary is inside you. The sanctuary, this refuge, this solace that we seek, isn't found in external places, but within the depths of our own hearts. We need communities like C3, like your faith communities, like your safe places. But no external church, political party, no family member, no spouse, no child, or organization, or nephew, or niece, or friend. Nobody can truly provide refuge. The entrance to the sanctuary that you seek is inside you. Thank you for sharing this planet, this time with me. We're going to invite our musical guests to come back up. Did you enjoy that music? There's something about classical style music with classical guitar and flutes. You can come on up while we're doing this here if you want. I feel so sophisticated listening to it. And clearly, I chose the wrong type of apparel this morning for this type of music. I saw this band at Red Rocks last week, and let's just say that type of music is very different from this kind of music. And I enjoyed that music in a very different kind of way than I enjoy this music. This music makes me want to go out and to like sip a martini and just be all sophisticated. So join me in welcoming our musical guests back to the stage as they continue to share with us.